Hi, listeners. This is the Hot Fossils and Rebel Matters show. Welcome again if you are a returning listener, and I hope you are a returning listener. And welcome for the first time if you're a new listener. I hope you enjoy the show today. I invite you to also check out some of the other ones at the show's website. That's at hotfrm.blogmatrix.com. I'm Ninja, and I'm your host. I'm here to share with you observations, commentary, reviews, interviews, performance pieces, and sometimes my ramblings. This show is sponsored by The Riot Group. That's W-R-Y-I-T. A little play on words that is supposed to remind me not to take myself too seriously in this life, whatever the circumstances. Happy New Year, listeners. I hope you had a good holiday. I did. Well, some bits were quite wonderful, and other bits I could have lived without. And I don't know about you, but I don't generally make New Year's resolutions. Actually, I don't know too many people who do. Though I do feel a sense of renewal when January comes around. I just find that resolutions are best made only when you're ready to make them. So when I quit smoking, for example, I remember that was around a March or April time frame. But by the same token, I did begin an exercise regime in the new year at one point. I guess it's that sense of renewal thing. But I'm feeling blah and uninspired this week, and it's likely because we've had day after day of rain all week and fog and general dark dreariness. Well, I'm also trying to get over a cold at the moment, so I'm a little more blah than usual. So do forgive me, listeners. Actually, today was the first day in about a week that we've had snow. And there are these beautiful, large, white flakes of snow that are coming down. And the temperature is just perfect. And Special K and I were out shoveling the walk. And it was actually quite magical. Before I forget, I've got some good news. Hot Potato Mo is back on the podcast cyberwaves after a few months off the air. You can catch her show again at hotpotatomo.libsyn.com. That's hotpotatomo.libsyn.com. And she has a brand new show out this week. You're in for a real treat today because I'm going to do a review and share my impressions of the movie Brokeback Mountain. I'm going to try to speak intelligently about the movie if I can. For those of you who haven't seen it, stop your iPods now and go see the movie right away. Then come back, because there's some spoilers here. And for the rest of you, here I go. Initially, I did not want to see this film. My objection, quite unfounded, went somewhere along the lines of, it's based on a fiction short story. How can I possibly take it seriously? It won't be about real people. It won't be about real issues. Well, those of you who have seen it know just how wrong I am. Brokeback Mountain is set against the backdrop of the sunset days of the American cowboy. Not to say that cowboys no longer exist, of course, but that the golden age of the American cowboy as we knew him in the 50s and 60s was coming to a close. Two young men, they are 19, Ennis and Jack, meet in 1963 during a summer job shepherding in the mountains of the American West. They fall in love, and their relationship endures over the course of 20 years, despite attempts on both their parts to have conventional heterosexual family lives. Jack dies tragically in 1983, 20 years after they meet. Their attachment and their conflict with that attachment is not so different, I discovered as I watched, from that of any two people trying to keep their relationship a secret. What made this about real experience for me is that I know people, gay people, or people having gay relationships who might not think of themselves as gay, who in 2006, right now, today, still live their love lives in pretty much the same way that Ennis and Jack do in this movie, astounding when you think of it, especially in Canada, which is so progressive. But in much of the world, same-sex couples are still forced to be in the closet. Unlike the sensibility of some movies in the 50s and 60s, where homosexuality was suggested and was often only a subtext, but nevertheless the cause of ultimate tragedy, this movie has homosexuality very much up front and right in your face. And Jack, one of the characters, is actually ready to accept his homosexuality and try to live a life that is as open as possible in those times. That's one of the things that make it different from a movie like Staircase, or say, Boys in the Band, or The Children's Hour, or The Detective, or The Killing of Sister George. Those movies were all made in the 60s and early 70s. They make homosexuality at best a laughable thing, especially when you look at it from today's point of view, and at worst, a dirty, forbidden, disgusting thing. In Brokeback Mountain, Jack is living his life on the edge of what was about to blossom into the gay liberation movement. He is absolutely ready, given the right support and partner, to live his life as openly as he can in such times. He is resigned to his sexuality in a way that Ennis is not, and gives every indication that he wants to live in a way that is true to himself. It is Ennis, the man he loves and who loves him, that is full of self-loathing and fear of his sexuality, while at the same time not being able to live without Jack. Ennis plays the stereotypical closet case in this movie. Some are saying in the press, and even the actors themselves, that this is merely a powerful love story. It could be about anyone's love. It's not about homosexuality. I think nothing could be further from the truth. I think it's a cop-out to view it that way. Listen to some of the things that were said about some of the gay movies of the 60s and 70s. In 1962, William Wyler said about his movie, The Children's Hour, that The Children's Hour is not about lesbianism. It is about the power of lies to destroy people's lives. Rex Harrison, who starred in Staircase with Richard Burton, said in 1971, Staircase is not about homosexuality. It's about loneliness. John Schlesinger, in 1972, said about the movie that he directed, Sunday, Bloody Sunday, is not about the sexuality of these people. It's about human loneliness. And anyone who has seen the movie The Boys in the Band will be astounded to know that the director, William Friedkin, said in 1970 that the movie is not about homosexuality. That's like saying Fiddler on the Roof is not about Jews. No audience can see The Boys in the Band as anything but homosexuality. I find such analysis funny today. Yet, these same kinds of things are being said about Brokeback Mountain right now. If this movie, say, were about a love between a man and a woman, the chances that they would leave their respective wife and husband for each other is much more probable and would have been much more acceptable. The movie, after all, takes place in an era where divorce and remarriage has become quite commonplace. Another aspect of this movie is that it really blows wide open the complacency and possible misconceptions society has about men together in close quarters for long periods of time. A friend of mine who used to love television westerns as a child said she often wondered how much homosexuality there was in real cowboy culture. Given the bond men displayed an utter lack of women in importance or in the plots, save for window dressing. Now, there has always been jokes about sailors and cowboys, but never any room for acceptance of serious, intimate relationships in such contexts. Frankly, I don't think I will ever be able to look at cowboys in the same way ever again. You can argue that of the two men, Ennis might be the more complex of the two. He comes from a home where his parents had died when he was quite young and may have been emotionally neglected in any case as he was growing up. His father takes him when he is the tender age of 9 to see the body of a man who had lived with another man for many years. The murdered man had been tortured, killed, and left to die. This sight has a huge impact on Ennis. It seems the only person he can connect with in the world on any intimate level is Jack, though. He only allows himself to see Jack once or twice a year and refuses to let the relationship grow or mature into anything different than their euphemistic fishing trips. This makes Ennis a very sad and, yes, a lonely person. And as onlookers, we feel great empathy and sympathy for him. In the movie, there's a strong suggestion that Jack dies at the hands of gay bashers. We're not sure. It's left a little bit ambiguous. Special K had a look at the actual short story recently, and she came away feeling, well, she has a theory that the author meant for the reader to consider that Jack's father-in-law might have had him killed. In the movie, there's a very strong animosity between Jack and his father-in-law. I'm not clear why there is ambiguity about the death, but I did come away with the impression, and I think you're supposed to, that he was murdered because of his sexuality. I think that really is the implication. The movie is very slow-moving in many parts, but the scenic backdrops are beautiful and breathtaking, and they're meant to be. And the unfolding story of their relationship kept me interested as the movie went along. I got completely wrapped up in their love and was very moved by their depth of emotion for each other and saddened that there seemed no way for them to be together. If you haven't seen the movie, I urge you, regardless of your orientation, to see it. It really is a universal love story that anyone can relate to that tugs at your heartstrings. By the way, all those other movie references and quotes come from the classic work The Celluloid Closet by Vito Russo. The Celluloid Closet is an analysis of homosexuality in the movies from the birth of film to about 1980, at least the edition that I have. One of my favorite parts of the book is a table at the back called Necrology. This table lists the movies that he refers to in the book with gay characters who die violently. One of the main themes of Russo's book, you see, is that in the unspoken ethics of filmmaking, it's okay to portray homosexuality as long as the perversion dies with the gay character at the end. Seems like that's what happens to Jack in Brokeback Mountain. Anyway, here's a sampling of ways that gay characters get to die. Suicide by straight razor. Suicide by hanging. Suicide by poisoning or pills. Murder by stabbing, murder by being pushed from a balcony, murder by shooting, murder by beating, murder by bludgeoning, murder by drowning, murder by stake through the heart. That must have been a vampire movie. Murder by cannibalism, and one of my favorites, murder by castration. Oh, and there's one execution by electric chair, so that guy must have really been a bad egg. Here's my quote for you today. No matter how cynical you become, it's never enough to keep up. And that was said by Lily Tomlin, one of my favorite comedians of all time. Anyway, stick around. At the end of the show, I'm going to play some promos of some of my favorite podcasts. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. I really enjoy doing my podcast for you. If you want to comment on this particular podcast, or if you want to comment on the show in general, please flip me an email. I welcome your feedback at hotfrm@gmail.com. That's hotfrm@gmail.com. Until I get to spend some time with you again, have a great day.
Creator and sustainer.
Back to the basic bass and then the drum.
Hi, I'm Mo, the host of Hot Potato Mo Radio, the Potato Cast. The Hot Potato Mo Radio Potato Cast is a weekly and evolving Q-friendly variety podcast about relationships, life, local and foreign sound scene tours, girl gabs, music, the senseo moment, and whatever else floats my boat. This is my work in progress journey into the potosphere from a girl's point of view, and that's spelled G-U-R-L. So hope you can join me and live vicariously through my so-called wacky life, now coming to an iPod near you. Look for me on iTunes under Talk Radio or at hotpotatomo@libsyn.com. Ta-ta!
Podcasting has allowed me to see that I am indeed valuable. I am creative. Being able to have this show has really, really made me feel like I have something of value to share with others.
You know, you kind of look like a dried up trout. Or, well, it'd be more like a...
Smelt.
Smelt.
No. Scallop.
Or kind of like something that was in a shell that fell out and dried in the sun. That's kind of what you look like.
Mm, that's a really nice compliment.
Like a snail.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm all slimy.
No, because you're all dried out.
I've got a story to tell, and my goal for the foreseeable future is to tell that story to as many people who will listen as possible. I'll go play with my ass and, celebrate gay pride by getting gangbanged by a bunch of crystal meth addicts. The name of my show, or podcast, if you will, is Lucky Bitch Radio, and I'm your lucky bitch. I'm podcasting's lucky bitch, Wanda Wisdom. That's Wanda, W-I-S to the D-O-M, Wisdom. I'm the only drag queen in the world with her very own podcast, ladies.
Do you like to have sex with retards?
Lesbian soup. Mmm, tasty. Everything you want to know about hot lesbians, but were too afraid to ask.
Emphasis on the hot.
Delightfully shallow.
And proud of it.
Google lesbian soup.
You won't regret it.
We promise.
This is Crash.
And this is Bailey.
And we're from the Crash and Bailey Show.
We're a queer interracial couple that talks about life on the left.
Right.
No, the left.
Right.
No, left. Like, liberal, not conservative.
Right. Anyhow, tune into our podcast at crashandbailey.blogspot.com.
Turn off your TV and tune in
to the Crash and Bailey Show.